4th of July, 2010, in Radhadash, a reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, the Lord instructs you, the Rupa Goswami, chapter 19, text 133 to 135. And we've got 145 and 4. Okay, text 133, we'll just read the translation. Sri Rupa Goswami has personally spoken about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his auspicious introduction to his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bengali is Rasamrita Sindhu Granthara Mangala Charane, in the Mangala Charana prayers of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You translate it? I'll try to talk slowly. If I talk too fast, just say, hey, it's open. Text 134, translation. Although I am the lowest, this is the Mangalacharna that Rupa Goswami wrote in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the inspiration to write transcendental literatures about devotional service has been mercifully bestowed upon me. Therefore, I am offering my obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given me the chance to write these books. At 135. In this way. Dasadina. For 10 days. Prayage and Prayag Rahiya Sang Shri Rupe to Shri Rupa Goswami Shiksha instructions Dila imparted Shakti Sancharya bestowing upon him the necessary potency. Translation in purport by Shri Prabhupada. For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Prayag and instructed Rupa Goswami, empowering him with the necessary potency. This is a confirmation of the statement, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tada Pravartana. So Krishna Shakti, the energy of Krishna, Vina without, Nahi, you're not able, Pravartana, to preach Krishna. Unless one is specifically empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement. An empowered devotee sees and feels himself to be the lowest of men, for he knows that whatever he does is due to inspiration given by the Lord in the heart. So how is Srila Prabhupada here defining humility?
Dependent
on the Lord. Okay. Anything more? How Prabhupada's defining humility?
Being an instrument.
Being an instrument. Says he knows that whatever he does is due to the inspiration given by the Lord in the heart. Says, an empowered devotee sees and feels himself to be the lowest of men, for he knows that whatever he does is due to the inspiration given by the Lord in the heart. So here we can understand how even great personalities who have no faults still see themselves as very low, because they know what?
It's all inspiration of the Lord.
It's all Krishna. It's all inspiration of the Lord. It's not them. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam vidam hi buddhi yogantam yena mam umpayanti te. Where is that from in the Bhagavad Gita?
Tenth
chapter. It's one of the four essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. To be empowered by the Supreme, now you may say, but Krishna is giving inspiration to everybody. Correct? Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Rajeshajantisati Ramayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Matasati Yagana Pohanacha. He's giving everybody knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So what is special about the person who's empowered to preach Krishna consciousness? Because everyone's empowered to do everything. Krishna says he's the ability in man, your ability to make edicts, that's Krishna. Our ability to think, that's Krishna. So Prabhupada says, to be empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to qualify himself. Now this is interesting, because first we're saying, it's all Krishna. And now we're saying, but you have to be qualified. This means that one must engage 24 hours daily in the loving service of the Lord. So that's the qualification. You don't have to have any particular kind of body. You don't have to be very intelligent. You don't have to have anything. What is the qualification? One has to qualify himself. This means that one must engage 24 hours daily in the loving devotional service of the Lord. The material position of a devotee doesn't matter because devotional service is not dependent on material considerations. In his earlier life, Srila Rupa Goswami was a government officer and a grihastha. It's interesting that I've never read anything about Rupa or Sanatana's grihastha. No? Anybody ever? Did I? No mention.
But he was living with his brother, and this is like grihastha.
No, I don't think so. It mentions that the grihastha means wife.
Yeah. Well, this is brahmachari.
Grihastha means wife. I mean, I often wonder, were they married to Muslim women? It does not mention. Because they were serving the Muslims. It said, Prabhupada says, practically they became Muslims. There's never any mention at all. Just simply saying that they were grihasthas. Interesting. He was not even a brahmachari or sannyasi. He associated with muletas and yavanas. So these were all his seeming disqualifications. A government officer, right? Politician, grihastha, bad association. But because he was always eager to serve, he was a qualified recipient for the Lord's mercy. He was always eager to serve. So that's the qualification. A sincere devotee can therefore be empowered by the Lord regardless of his situation. In the preceding verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has described how he was personally empowered by the Lord. So we read that verse from Rupa Goswami's Mangalacharna. Right? Remember that verse? Although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the inspiration to write transcendental literatures about devotional service has been mercifully bestowed upon me. He further states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187, Hi hayasya hariyo dasye karmana manasa dhira nikhila svapi avastasu jiva mukta sa uchite. Jiva mukta, how to become liberated even in this body. Translation of that is, a person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words is a liberated person even in the material world, although he may be engaged in so many so-called material activities. To keep oneself free from material contamination and attain the Lord's favor, one must be sincerely anxious to render service to the Lord. So Prabhupada first said you have to be doing loving devotional service 24 hours a day. And now he's saying one has to be anxious for that service. This is the only qualification necessary. As soon as one is favored by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Lord, one is immediately given all the power necessary to write books and propagate the Krishna consciousness movement without being hampered by material considerations. So why is Prabhupada talking about writing books specifically?
Because his spiritual master said that we should write
books. Certainly. But why in this why in this particular purport, at this particular place, is Prabhupada talking about being empowered to write books? Yes, because that's what's happening here, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, he had, what's it say? Deshadhini. No, it's not right. It's Dashadhini. Desha means place, Dasha means tent. Dashadhini. So for 10 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving shiksha to Rupa Goswami. Why? So Rupa Goswami can take this instruction and write a book. Or books. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada in this purport is specifically speaking about the empowerment for writing books. Speaking in general about preaching Krishna consciousness, and specifically about writing books. Emata dasha dine praya gairahya shri rupe shiksha dila shakti sancharya shakti. So Krishna is giving Rupa Goswami his shakti. For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Prayag and instructed Rupa Goswami, empowering him with the necessary points. So we have two things that appear to be contradictory. On the one hand, we're saying that the devotee feels himself very low and says, everything is Krishna, nothing is me. On the other hand, we say the devotee has to qualify himself. Well, if you qualify yourself, then you're qualified. How can you say, it's not me, but I'm qualified? When my mother first visited the temple, she asked the temple president, what is your qualification to be temple president? Now, if you're out in the world and you see the head of a company and you say to them, what is your qualification? They'll tell you their qualification. Sometimes in the world, people tell you their qualifications even when you don't ask. But certainly if you ask, they'll say, oh, I got my MBA from Cambridge and I have 20 years of experience, right? So this temple president said, I don't have any qualifications. My spiritual masters asked me to do this service. So the next, 20 years, my mother was criticizing ISKCON, and she would say, your temple presidents are not qualified. So how do you adjust this? How do you adjust this? I have no qualifications. Everything is just being done by Krishna. That's a fact. Krishna says, on the life of all that lives, on the intelligence of the intelligent, on the ability of man, on the strength of the strong, I'm giving knowledge, memory, and forgetfulness. One devotee a couple days ago was helping me with some service and then just said, I'm really amazed at my memory. I can remember almost any number ever. I was just working on some finances for our company, and I could remember that we paid exactly $213.17 to this man 3 months ago. So that's Krishna. Krishna's giving that memory. So what can we do? Can't do anything. I'm a part of Krishna. Just like each of us right now is doing something with our hands. That power is coming from the fact that the hand is connected to the body. If you chop the hand from the body, the hand has no independent power to function. Now you can say that the hand has some complete functioning. It has its muscular system and its skeletal system, the nerves and the blood vessels. But without being connected to the body, it can't do anything. It would immediately stop all of its actions, whatever you're doing right now with your hands. That power is coming from you. Even though the hand, you can say the hand also has some capability itself. So we can say the soul has all the qualities of God to most of the qualities of God to a minute degree. The soul is also very powerful. But that power is exhibited when you're connected. Therefore, the power is all coming from the powerhouse. It's not coming from me. I'm not the source of my own power. So that sounds like you just do nothing. Oh, but you have to do something. You have to connect. That's the qualification. The qualification is you have to connect. Just like this microphone, it's got to be plugged in or has to have a battery that was plugged in, or it won't work. That light has to be plugged in. I'm sure most of us have some, at least one marvelous technological gizmo in our possession. Something, a mobile phone or MP3 player or computer or something. But it has to be plugged in. No matter how wonderful the device is, it has to be plugged in. So that's our qualification. That's how we have to qualify ourselves. So the devotee can take that credit. That is the one thing that the soul can do. That's ours, as Prabhupada says in one purport. Because we have to know what belongs to us, against Ishapanishad. What belongs to us and what doesn't belong to us. So you might think, well, nothing belongs to me. No, something belongs to us. What belongs to us? Something's mine. My ability is not mine. My intelligence is not mine. My strength is not mine. My body is not mine. What's mine?
Free will.
My will. My desire. That's mine. That belongs to me. So my qualification is, am I using my free will to connect with Krishna or not? Like when Prabhupada came to America, he said, I have no qualifications, but I have faith in the holy name. He said, I have this one qualification. So we can say, do I have the qualification of faith in Krishna? Do I have the qualification of following Srila Prabhupada? Am I eager to serve? We're all eager for something, Prabhupada's saying here. He says several times. Because he was always eager to serve, one must be sincerely anxious to render service. Even there are places where Prabhupada says that if you can't serve, if you just want to serve. Now, if you're locked in prison, like the devotees were locked in prison in Siberia in the former Soviet Union just for distributing books, what service could they do? Not much. They just want to serve. If I'm using my desire to connect with Krishna, then I'm empowered by Krishna. And Krishna is not whimsical. Anyone who's connected to him is empowered by him. Right? Well, we're empowering all the parts of our body. And saying, well, do I want to empower my left hand today or my right hand? No, if they're connected, naturally they're empowered. We want every part of our body to be empowered. Don't we? When some part of our body doesn't work properly, it's not pleasing. If some part of your body just doesn't act the way you want. I was with somebody a while ago who had some difficulty with their digestion and they had some surgery. So that sometimes they couldn't control their using the toilet. So that was very embarrassing for them, an adult. All of a sudden, she said, oh. She had to wash all of her clothes. So some part of your body isn't functioning properly. Even you have a cold and your nose isn't stuffed up. It's disturbing. Krishna wants all of us to be empowered. Sometimes Prabhupada says that Krishna feels some pain that we're not connected. Because he loves us. Obviously, Krishna is complete. Om Purnamada Purnamida Purna Purnamadachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vasishate Purnam Eva Vasishate. You take the complete away from the complete, still the complete remains. So even if we're separated from Krishna, Krishna is still complete. He doesn't need us to be complete. But he desires that connection with us for our benefit. He wants to empower us. It's not a question that, well, I want to serve Krishna and is he going to empower me or not? He wants that. Of course he can choose not to. It's not that he's obliged. But he's expressing that that's his desire. He wants us to be fully functioning. And when we're fully functioning as a connected part and parcel, then in a sense we're also glorious. Robert gives the example of a little tiny screw. I'm sure in this microphone there's some screw somewhere. So by itself, if you just, like in the room I'm staying, on the mantle, there was a little screw by itself. It has no value. What do I do with it? I just stuck it in a drawer somewhere. But it has no value. But when it's part of a machine, it has immense value. I remember I had a little screw that came out of one of my computers. You know how when they put in the plug for the projector, they screw it in? So when somebody unscrewed it, they pulled out the internal screw from my computer. So I wrote the company. I said, I want another screw. They said, oh, that'll cost about $50. $50. Why? Because we send it out insured in a big box. I said, just put it in an envelope. They said, suppose it gets lost. I said, well, how much will it cost an envelope? They said, 90 cents. I said, then you just send me another one if it gets lost. But because it's part of the machine, it has some value. I'm sure most people are paying the full price for this little screw. One time that happened with my computer, a different computer, a little piece got broken, and they said, you know, only $200. I just left it broken. But when it's part of the machine, you know, I said, this is probably a $2 piece of plastic, you know, made in China. But because it's part of the machine, they can ask so much money, and it's so valuable. So we're nothing. We're a little speck. We were really, really nothing. If we think about how insignificant we are, of course, materially for our false ego, it's a little depressing. But we're really nothing. If you've ever been on a plane, even when you're very close to landing, you can't see the people. You've practically got to be on the ground before you can see that there's any people. You can see the cars, but you can't see people. Amazing. You have to be just, you know, a few meters above the ground before you can see people. So tiny. And this whole Belgium is tiny. When I was in Bahrain, and I told my friends I'm in Bahrain, they're like, oh, what's that? The whole country is insignificant. A big city is just a dot on a map. A whole city, a city like London or New York, millions and millions of people. It's just one tiny pin dot on a map. And the whole planet is one pin dot in space. So, you know, we're a pin dot in a pin dot in a pin dot in a pin dot, and the whole universe is one mustard seed. You ever seen a mustard seed? They're as big as the head of a little metal head of a pin. So it's so insignificant. But when we're connected, we become very important. At least to Krishna. He thinks we're very important. Now, nowadays, people don't have very many children, but, you know, when families had 10, 15 children, still every child was important. It's not that if one child died, you just say, oh, well. Everyone was important, equally important. So that is our importance if we're connected. And how do we stay connected? It's not just some mystical thing. Okay, I'm going to connect. And yoga means to connect. How do you connect? One must engage 24 hours daily in the loving, devotional service of the Lord. So not just service, and not just love. Loving, devotional service. Prabhupada talks about the fallen devotee, and he says he must do some work for Krishna, and that work must be with love. So whatever service we're doing, it should be done with some affection. Must be done with some affection. We all naturally have so much affection. Nobody's without affection. Maybe we have affection for our wife or our husband or our car or our shoes or something. We have affection for something. If you want to know what you have affection for, notice what you think about, especially what you worry about. Whatever you worry about, that's what you have affection for. If you worry about money, or you worry about your clothes, or your house, or when you're going to eat, that's our Maya Kamanavata. Krishna says, but think of me with attachment. And of course, everything we're attached to is all ultimately Krishna. It's all Krishna's energy, but it's not the right way. It's like we're just trying to stick part of the wire in the wall instead of the plug. It was Prabhupada told my father, he said, if you put food in your stomach, you'll get good eyesight, but you put it in your eyes, you'll become blind. So everything we're attached to is also Krishna's energy, but we're not connecting with it in the right way. So we take that same attachment that we have. We don't have to learn a new art, really. Prabhupada said the difference between material and spiritual work is very slight. The attachment we right now have for whatever in this world, just shifted to the source. That's all. And as soon as you do that, then naturally you'll serve the source. Whatever we worry about and are attached to, we serve. Pretty simple. But then we might say, oh, but Arimala, you don't know all the obstacles that I have in my life. I can't do this. First, I have to live in this place. And then I have to be in this ashram. And then I have to have this situation with my body. And then I have to have enough money. And then I have to do this. And I have to have enough time to meet all the women. And after I take care of all those things, then I'll be able to engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. And Prabhupada's going to great lengths here to say, no, your material position doesn't matter. And he's giving the example of Rupa Goswami, who he said he was a government officer. That's not a very spiritual position. We don't generally think of government officers as being very spiritual people. Pretty unusual. Of course, in former times, there were saintly kings. One ISKCON leader, just a little while ago, was talking about how some of our ISKCON leaders are living like kings. And he was not saying this in a complimentary way. It was a criticism. But I was thinking later, this is a member of the GBC was saying this to me. I was thinking later, but there's also the Rajarishi. There's the saintly kings. It's not that just because you're living like a king, you must be materialistic. But generally we think like that. Generally we think that the politicians are materialistic persons, that they're interested in name and fame, that they're not very honest. An honest politician. It's almost an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? Like cold heat. Something you can't, it's not possible to have. So we wonder, are there any honest politicians? But he was a politician. He was a politician. He was a politician in a corrupt government. Rupa Goswami was not working for Maharaj Yudhisthira. He had a Muslim boss who was, not just because he was a Muslim, etc., but he was interested in plundering and he was conquering other kingdoms through violence. The reason Rupa Goswami worked for him is that he said, if you don't work for me, I'll kill all the Vaishnavas in this area. So, okay, I'll work for you. So he had a bad master. He was a politician. He had an evil boss. Was a married man, family, home, money. He was associating with lechers and yavanas. He didn't even have good association. But he was very eager to serve. Josh. So obviously, if we can create a situation that's more favorable for our Krishna consciousness, we should do so. If we have the opportunity to associate with saintly persons, if we have the opportunity to be in a holy place, well, we should certainly do that. Not that you say, well, my material condition doesn't matter, so therefore I won't do the changes that I can make. But that's not where the bulk of our energy should go. The bulk of our energy should not go into, let me find the perfect material situation for my Krishna consciousness, because there isn't any, not in this world. Abrahamalunaloka. You go up to the abode of Lord Brahma, it's not perfect for devotional service. What you speak of on the earth planet, we're a lower middle planet, and it's Kali Yuga. Like Prabhupada was once talking about, that he was concerned that there might be a nuclear war between America and Russia over India and Pakistan. And one devotee said, well, if there's a nuclear war, then all the land will be polluted with radiation. We won't be able to eat any food. And Prabhupada said, yes, without food you will die. So everybody will die. 20 years more later, now, dying now, or 20 years from now, what does it matter? Everyone's going to die. Again, this devotee said, but everything will be polluted. And Prabhupada said, the whole material world is polluted when we live here. So, obviously Prabhupada didn't want us to have a nuclear war. But the point is that there's a limit as to how much you can adjust the material energy to make it favorable for spiritual life. You'll never be able to adjust it completely. That's not possible. So regardless of one's material situation, never mind whatever our material situation is, just serve. In whatever situation we find ourselves, you find a way, and you can say, how can I serve a convenient? One can always hear, or chant, or remember. Certainly, one can always remember. Even ordinary materialistic persons are often thinking about something other than their surroundings, or something in addition to their surroundings. Now they're working at their job, but they're really thinking about who's winning the, what is it now, the World Soccer Cup or something it's called?
World
something. And I was in the airport and everybody was screaming. Something, whatever it is. And after that's finished, there'll be another something. And that's what they're thinking about that. I'm sure the pilot flying the plane is thinking about, you know, who's winning. When people in their boardrooms, at their meetings, in their businesses, I'm sure they have their little thing on their iPhone, you know, who's winning. Rupa Goswami said we should think about Krishna just like a married woman who has a secret lover is thinking about her lover. She's doing her job better because she doesn't want her husband to suspect. So she becomes a better housewife. But all day long, she's thinking. So we become the servant of illusion. And while we're apparently doing our illusory duties, we should be thinking about our real love, who is God. And that one can do in any circumstance. So here we have this adjustment of how one can feel that everything is dependent on Krishna and yet qualify ourselves. And that qualification is not dependent on anything in terms of our material situation. So we have about 3 minutes. I got a really strong email before I came. Class ends at 8:30. Actually, it's told to me two different emails. Make sure you end at 8:30. That gives us 2 minutes. Of course, the person who wrote me that isn't here. He's probably there at the other one. But I don't want to get in trouble. So, questions? Yes?
You said that the Rupa Goswami was serving in the government, which was actually the money of the government, whatever. But ultimately, I mean, his direction was to get rid of this kind of situation, right? So if you say every situation is favorable, I mean, like you can say that there's not an impediment to work for a bad government. So why would you give it up?
So if no situation is impediment, why give up, why change the situation at all? If you really love somebody, deeply love somebody, then no situation impedes your love, but you'd still like to be with them. Is there someone you love who's distant physically from you right now? Is there anybody you're attached to who doesn't stay right here around a dish? So the fact that they're separate from you doesn't stop your feelings of affection. But you still make an effort, I would assume, to go see them. It's not that you just say, well, I still feel full affection here. What does it matter whether I'm here or there? No, you do make some effort. You may call them, right? You may send them letters. Sometimes you go through great effort to get the money for a travel and travel and go see them. And your desire is to be with the people that you love all the time. So both are there. The devotee makes some endeavor, of course, but ultimately it's up to Krishna. Krishna's put me in some circumstance, for whatever reason, due to my past misdeeds, due to his desire for my service, whatever the reason is, it isn't even so important what the reason is. My affection for Krishna if it's genuine affection, it won't be impeded by any circumstances. But I still would like to be with him. I'd like to be closer. I'd like to be in a holy place. I'd like to be with his devotees. I'd like to be with him personally. And if I get an opportunity to do that, then certainly I'll do that. Unless, even if there's an opportunity, Krishna's saying, no, you stay there for service then, okay? What to do? Like Krishna sent Uddhava away from his presence, go to Vrindavan. Uddhava doesn't say, my Lord, how can I leave you? No, that's your order, then you do that. So if Krishna is, for whatever reason, putting us in, okay, so both of us.
It seems like it wasn't favorable in the sense that he said, I don't want to support you because you're actually going, to harm.
Yes.
And then also at the same time he said, like, you didn't really have time to study Shambhavati because of his job. So that was different things were actually.
So therefore, when Rupa Goswami took it, because he saw that it would be more favorable if he was a renunciate, so when the opportunity arose. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. First he was trying to leave his situation over and over and over again. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, stop being a crazy person. He said that specifically. He said, stop acting like a madman. He said, go back home and just pretend to be an ordinary person. And don't worry, everything will come in time. So when there was an opportunity, he took it. When Yadunandan Acharya, his guru, called him out, the guards weren't watching because, oh, here's the guru, we don't have to worry. And he said, this brahmana has stopped his service, you please get him to, oh yes, yes, I'll do it. But he didn't, which is interesting, by the way. He said to his guru, ah, yes, I'll do this. But he didn't. He just left. Raghunandas Goswami just left. And went to Jagannath. Oh, here's a window of opportunity. So if the door opens and you get a better opportunity, of course you'll take it. If you get the opportunity, oh, now I can study Bhagavatam more, or now I can be with the devotees, of course you'll take it. But we see that the great devotees, it's not that they're expending all their energy just to make their situation favorable. Because, first of all, we're not really in control of our situation. Anybody here totally in control of their life circumstances? We may try to be, but how much can you control? Just like, you know, a few months ago, I was walking on some stairs and there was water I didn't see and I slipped and I broke my foot. I didn't want to break my foot. Now I'm much more careful walking on the stairs. I've noticed I'm becoming much more careful. But then there'll be something else, you know. You're in a car, I was in a car, or in a truck, went into the back of the car. What can you do about that? Nothing. Or some thief comes and steals your things, or, you know, if your wife or your husband says, I'm leaving, what are you supposed to do? Sorry, I already have someone else in another town for the last 5 years, I'm going, how do you control this? So we're not, I mean, are we really in control of our health? Are we really in control of our wealth? Are we really in control of our family situation, our living situation? Suppose there's a war. How long ago was there a war here? It wasn't that long ago. Then what do you do? What do you say? No, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. You can't take my house. How much can you control that? So that we see, I can't really control my circumstances. So I try. But the main energy I should be putting is that whatever circumstances I'm in, let me do devotional service 24 hours a day. So my own personal advice is put 10% of your energy into making your circumstances favorable and 90% of your energy into being Krishna conscious in whatever circumstances you have. That's my personal suggestion. Because if you put the majority of your energy into making your circumstances favorable, then it's not very much different from the materialistic person who's thinking that the way they'll be happy is by adjusting the material energy. So if I'm thinking the way I'm going to be Krishna conscious is by adjusting the material energy, it's really very much the same kind of thing. And it's just, it's missing the whole point. Sure, if you have the opportunity, if you can do it. It's not that because we can't absolutely control our health that we don't do anything to control our health. I mean, that's... We try to eat healthy food and get exercise. But if you're imprisoned in a Soviet labor camp in Siberia and the only food you can eat is bread, then what do? You say, oh, I can't be Krishna conscious. I mean, looking at Rupa Goswami's situation, if you read the book Salted Bread, and so... You know, Sarvabhaumana Prabhu, he's in a Soviet labor camp. There's no other devotees in the camp. He has no association with devotees. And the association he has is not only materialists, but they're criminals. They're not even just ordinary materialistic people. They're murderers and rapists and robbers. They're bad association even from a materialistic point of view. He doesn't have any prasada. All he has is bread. He lived on bread for 2 years. And he can't even have beads. If they catch him with beads, they'll beat him. And really beat him, not just like slap him around. So he's having to make beads out of bread, and it takes about 5 days to make the beads. It's a whole process. And then he has to make just little beads he can hide in his hand. And then they get taken away. Again, he has to. He can't have any books. No deities, there's no Mangalarti, there's no prasada, there's no books, there's no sadhu sangha. There's hardly even any sunlight. And he's being forced to do work for the head of the prison. They have to, I think he's sewing uniforms for the army or something. And still, they were Krishna conscious. In fact, they were very Krishna conscious. There were two of them in this labor camp. They were separated from each other. Have any of you read that book? And one of them left his body in a labor camp. He was very ill. He had been put in the hospital. Yeah. And he left his body in the camp. And many, many months later, they met his cellmate. The cellmate came up to the devotees and said, oh, I knew one of you in the labor camp. And he told the story of how this devotee left his body. He was very, very sick. He could hardly get out of bed. And then one day he he got up and he looked healthy. And this man said, I thought maybe he was getting better. And he told his cellmate, he said, please shave my head except leave a little hair in the back. So he did that. And then he took the toothpaste and he put it on my tilak. And then there was some magazines there. He tore up the paper and put them together and made a garland from the paper. And then he sat down, and he had been not able to get out of bed for weeks. He sat down in the middle of the room and started chanting. And then this man went to the, because it was the prison hospital, so the cellmate went to see the doctor for his treatment. I mean, not that they gave him a very good treatment. Then he came, when he came back to the cell, he just saw this devotee sitting there holding his little beads and smiling. He said, oh, I'm back, and he didn't respond. So he touches him, he touched him, he fell, and he realized he left his body. So obviously he was Krishna conscious in a circumstance where there was not one favorable, nothing, not even, there wasn't not one speck of anything that was favorable for Krishna consciousness. The silly was Krishna. They were preaching to the other prisoners. If they were caught doing that, they were severely beaten. I mean, really, with metal rods and not a small thing. So in any circumstances, one can be Krishna conscious. I know, easy to say, right? But we should put our energy into that rather than just trying to say, oh, I have to have this qualification materially and this qualification materially. Okay, now I've gone over time.
Thank you very much. All the ways you should have done.